It's time to get your goalkeeping groove on with the ultimate at-home goalkeeping workout. Want to top up on your training? Join ex-Premier League stopper Richard Lee from the comfort of your own home. For 30 minutes, three times per week, Rich will take to Instagram Live and run viewers through an easy-to-follow training routine developed from his years of professional experience working with first-class goalkeepers and goalkeeping coaches. Work on and improve speed, strength, technique, and many other aspects of your game while engaging the core muscle groups and athletic ability required to be a top goalkeeper.
Just there, nice and simple. Just right hand to left hand, get the ball moving, get a little bit higher. Good, right into some straight into some goalkeeping core. So ball out in front, nice squat down and up.
All you need is a few essential household items, a good Wi-Fi connection, and a small space at home. With a weekly mindset session and goalkeeper quiz to boot, consider this your one-stop shop for goalkeeping growth. Join the Joe Wicks of goalkeeping today on a free one-week trial with no obligation to continue. Visit goalkeepersunion.net/workout for more details.
You've been brilliant. You always are. Well done. Great attitude. I'll see you shortly. Take care.
Hello, welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew.
Another game, another Between the Sticks, mate. Or another few games, I should say.
Indeed, yeah, plenty of games last night. And once again, as is always the case, we find there's always goalkeeping discussion. Pretty much every time there's a game, there's always something to discuss. And we've got a couple of beauties to discuss today, haven't we?
A couple of beauties we have. We're going to start with Wayne Hennessy because this caused all kinds of reaction on social media last night and still this morning, to be fair. So much to get into with this one. We're talking Wolves, we're talking five men, four men, charges, good angles as shown by the TV cameras, both from behind the goal and from behind the taker. Let's get your thoughts because we had a number of responses to the tweet that we put out, but so too did Chris Kamara. Following the goal, he tweeted a grab of one of those angles I was referring to and said, "Brilliant free kick from Trent. Goalkeepers starting positions say to free kick takers, if you can get it over the wall, you can have it." What do you make of that?
Well, right. So there's so many parts to this. It's then where to start. And I'm going to try and get through as many of the parts as I possibly can. Because I heard the argument about the Liverpool players, the impact that they've had, which is a fair point. They've played this perfectly. They've got the men next to the wall, which make it difficult for the goalkeeper to see, which if I'm the attacking team, I recommend you do that because you want to make it as difficult for the goalkeeper to see as possible. Now, at some point, you could argue then, well, the goalkeeper needs to keep moving over until he can see the ball. Well, at some point, you're going to be outside the goal. So the goalkeeper needs to be quite strong in terms of where he takes up his position. Was he too far over? Look, he was positioned according to his wall. He decided to go with five in the wall. Now, I know we put something out and some people didn't agree. Now, I'm doing this from personal experience. In my entire career, I conceded one free kick, and that was Colchester on a Tuesday night against Brentford. He's whipped it up, down, over the wall, top corner. I've gone full stretch, and he's done me by inches. So it's something that I do feel I've got knowledge on because it's something I've really studied. Now, I don't think you ever need more than four in a wall, personally. The reason being is if you have five, as was the case, we see that that then impacts the position of the goalkeeper. So personally, I always go four and a charger. Do you have a charger on a direct free kick? Yes, you do. Reason being two. One is that if you have two taking the free kick, they could potentially shift it and strike it, in which case you have the charger. Secondly, that kind of offers a little bit of protection to the other side of the goal. So if there's anyone out there saying you shouldn't have a charger, my guess is the education isn't necessarily there as to what the charger does. So that's really important as to have that. So for me, it was always four and a charger. And the other part to this, it was 25 yards out. It wasn't 18 yards out. I can kind of understand that you might have five in a wall if it's 18. If it's 25 yards, as good as Trent Alexander-Arnold is, I still think you back yourself and you go four in the wall, you go slightly more central, and you still say, if it's my side, I'm going to save it. And you have to have a lot of confidence in yourself to say that. Now, look, I say all of that, and I then finish with the fact that it's not Wayne Hennessy's fault. It is a phenomenal free kick, fantastic free kick. The technique he's got is a joke. If he's, you know, we talk about him being out of position, we're talking maybe a foot, if that. So I'm not for 1 second saying it's his fault, but what I'm saying is, when it comes to defending free kicks, I do think, as a rule of thumb, depending on where the free kick is, you'll have a certain strategy for that free kick.
Okay, I'm going to read through some of the responses that we had on Twitter. And if there's anything that you want to pull me up on or you want me to stop, just jump in, because there's quite a few to get through. I won't do all of them, but thank you to everybody who responded on Twitter with regards to this matter. I'll start with Aaron Lines, who said, it's a good strike, not great, but I would have been crucified if I'd let that in. I get the additional players in the wall would throw you off and he wants to see the ball, but realistically, you don't need sight of the ball. Trent has one target from there with that wall. It's all about starting positions. He said, he also said, listen, that's my opinion. I know that not everybody would think the same thing. Mark Edwards said, don't
just quickly, if it's okay, I'll individually go through. That's a great point. It is a great point. I suppose, aligns with what I said initially, that the tricky thing is, it doesn't matter how many you've got there. In theory, the opposition could put a wall, like their own wall, like Liverpool did. Well, there's only so far you can go across before you say, okay, I've just got to accept that I can't see the ball. Now, when we analyse, we've also got to take that into account, because if the goalkeeper can't see the ball, which sometimes they can't, they're going to react that little bit later. So then that's where us as analysts need to take that into account. So it's a really good tweet.
Okay, many have said, listen, you wave at those as they go in the top corner, top quality strike, absolutely nothing that you can do about that whatsoever. There's one I wanted to touch on. This was Carl Elson. Flip the wall, full dive right, and you can see the ball. Just my opinion, would like the feedback. Now, this is something everybody's talked about. The size of the wall, the fact that Max Meyer was at the end of the wall, and the wall almost started with Joel Ward, the player that you said maybe Wayne Hennessy could have taken out of the wall as arguably the tallest. I think Mamadou Sakho was in there as well, but the wall seemed to go from high down to low, which is where Trent curled it over.
Yeah, and these are details. And this is where I think, look, most clubs will go through set pieces. Normally on a Friday before the game, most clubs will go through set pieces. There is always the argument, do clubs do enough work on this? Do teams do enough work on this? Because you look at the stats, so many goals scored from set pieces. And it could be that if you've done your homework, it might be that you shape the wall based on who are likely to take the free kicks. They had the two men standing over. So they had, which by the way, from Liverpool's point of view, perfect. You've got the right footer, you've got the left footer. That means that Palace need to maximise their wall. They need to go four. If you only had a right footer, there is an argument that you go three because you don't then need that man on the inside of the wall. If they only had a left footer, again, you go three, but you shift the wall over. So it's these details that I think a lot won't necessarily go into. Now, again, I know this from firsthand experience because I've been at clubs where you're not necessarily going to go into that detail. The other part of it might be, all right, does the wall jump or not? Now, some will say absolutely not because then you can fire it under the wall. Others will say at least go up onto your tiptoes. Others will say that the man on the outside of the wall needs to be the tallest man on the wall. But this is the point. These are the details that, look, most of the time it's going to be irrelevant. But all of a sudden, a game like this, Trent Alexander-Arnold, well, what if they'd have aligned the wall differently, had different sizes in different positions? What if they'd gone four plus a charger instead of five plus a charger? Does that then make a difference to the goalkeeper's position? You know, all these little details that you could then look into, drill into, and what I suppose I like to do is base a lot of it on percentages. And you kind of then take into account, well, look, and again, I'm talking from my own career, 199 games, one goal conceded from a free kick. I know it was something I was very good at because it's something I really studied and tried to maximise my position, maximise the wall that I was working with, maximise what they did. And I did a lot of work with them because for me, every time there's a free kick, 20 to 25 yards out, it's so dangerous.
Okay, just a few more. Jimmy Lindley said, this setup always amazes me. Surely you want your tallest players the other side of the wall so it's harder to get the ball over the part that's furthest from you to save. Matt Grant, I'm okay with the positioning. What I'm not okay with is the way the wall has lined up. So he kind of said the same thing as well. Greg Kovacic said, listen, wall side, no real criticism from me. Kevin Tronkowski, with Trent and Mo Salah over the ball likely to get a curler into a post. If the goalkeeper stands central, he might not get to either shot. And we all criticise him for not setting up on the edge of the wall. So I think he is in a good spot here to use the wall to make the goal smaller.
On that, very quick. You're right. Look, because I'm also, and again, I'll keep repeating this, not his fault. It's not his fault. It's up, down, over the wall in the corner. For me, rule of thumb, if that happens, great free kick. I'm not saying central either, because the second you go central, you're basically giving them your side. And with someone like Mo Salah, or even Trent going back on himself, they'll Beckham against Tottenham, that kind of up, down, over, back on yourself. That's where then you're also then going to line yourself up for criticism. Because I would always criticise, and 9 times out of 10, I will criticise a goalkeeper if they get beaten their side. So I'm not saying central, absolutely not saying central. If he's out of position, we're talking a foot. Does a foot make that much difference? Does Trent still score? Possibly. But I guess what we're doing here, it's educational, it's the analysis side of it. What could he have done differently to maybe impact? What could Crystal Palace as a team have done differently? And I do think there were 3 or 4 things, as some great tweets we've had in, and as you say, we do appreciate all the tweets. Really, really good tweets. 3 or 4 very small points, which, by the way, they could have done all of them and still conceded the goal because the quality of the free kick was that good.
Just lastly, you've got 2 more. Henry Woodcock made a good point about Liverpool's setup. I can't recall if you've actually mentioned this already, but Liverpool set up there with their 3 men in front of the Palace wall. He said the goalkeeper was caught between a rock and a hard place. You see it very late, or you have loads of ground to cover. Either way, I think that strike goes in. And lastly, this one is from VBL, who said there has to be an argument. Now, this is something we've discussed on the podcast before, for just not having a wall against such a good set-piece taker. Walls restrict views, they heighten the likelihood of handball and dangerous deflections.
Yeah, look, it's an interesting point. And at what point do you not have a wall anymore? I think for this, I would always want the wall because, as you mentioned, the Liverpool players being a great example. Let's say you didn't have any wall at all. Liverpool would still put their players in front of the goalkeeper to block the goalkeeper's sight. So if anything, you got the worst of all worlds then, where it can go either corner, but the goalkeeper's view is still blocked. So I do think that having a wall makes sense, but it doesn't make sense if you don't focus on the details. If you've got the smallest man on the outside of the wall, if they're not doing their jobs, if they're not brave in the wall, if the goalkeeper is unsighted because of his own wall, if the wall's too big for the situation, you know, and this is it where, and again, these are the details. This is the details we're talking about. Wherever the ball is on the pitch, there is an optimum situation you can put your players in, your defenders in, i.e. when the ball's out wide, for instance, good example, and this is, again, more of an educational point, ball's out wide for a free kick, do you have 1 or 2 in the wall? Well, again, that depends on how many takers you have. If you have 2 takers, you go 2 in the wall because they might play it short, and therefore you need to have 2 on 2. The goal that Arsenal conceded the other day was dreadful from a short corner because they only took 1 man out. I mean, this is Premier League football. They had 1 man out, 2 took the corner, played it around the 1 man, whipped it in goal. You know, just such simple schoolboy stuff. But I think that even at the very top level, some don't focus on these details. And I think when it comes to free kicks, because it's one of many things that happen in a game, there are so many times I see it and I do question why the team, and it's not the goalkeeper's fault, why the manager, assistant manager, hasn't gone into such detail on these things because they are so important.
All right, Martin Dubravka is the next one. Newcastle v Aston Villa last night. It ended up in a 1-1 draw. Newcastle had taken the lead, but a late equaliser from El Mohammadi from a corner, a near post flicked header. It went under Dubravka. You'd have to say that was an error.
Yeah, it's a horrible one. Really, really horrible one. And I'll touch on a few parts of this. Firstly, the ball's whipped in. He's had to take a step to his right, which is the correct decision, because as soon as it comes in, the chances are it may get headed your near post. So you have to take a step to your right. As he's done that, he's slightly shielded by Jonjo Shelvey. I mention that because as it's headed, Shelby's then sort of semi-gone for it, which is going to impact your eye line slightly. And it's gone in that horrible little corridor. We spoke about it the other day about the Colchester goalkeeper, Dean Gherkin, that horrible little corridor where it's not quite your feet. You can't get your feet to it, but similarly, you can't get your hands down in order to trap it. So it's kind of gone in there. And then lastly, he's almost ended up on his back because he hasn't quite been able to get the dive as he would have wanted. So is it an error? Yeah, he'll be disappointed with it, certainly. And it'll be a frustrating one for him. Can I understand why it happened? Yeah, there's 3 or 4 reasons as to why I can understand exactly why it happened. Would you do differently in that situation? It's tough to say. You know, it really is. Because I think as much as it's an error, I think he's done everything right, other than maybe getting down as quick as he would have wanted to have got down. Could he have gone with his feet? Probably not, because he's moving to his right. Jonjo Shelvey impacting the situation? Yeah, to an extent. Look, I think it's one of them that another day he's able to get a better connection and keep it out. you know, obviously it wasn't the case in this situation.
Okay, we're going to finish on a couple of comments regarding David De Gea and Kasper Schmeichel. But before we do that, Norwich lost yesterday to Everton 1-0. Another goal from a corner header. We can talk about men on the post. We won't go into that in this particular podcast. We've done that numerous times too. But that's 10 goals conceded from corners now from Norwich in the Premier League. That's the most in the Premier League. Does that say anything at all about Tim Krul, or is that just bad luck?
No, this relates to this entire conversation. I guess this has been the theme of today's Between the Sticks, is these are the details. And this is where, as much as we can look at Liverpool, Man City, and yeah, they're incredible. The way they play is a joy to watch. Still, so many goals in the Premier League are set pieces. And I've had a few managers over the time. You know, I've been lucky to work with the likes of Brendan Rodgers, obviously Eddie Boothroyd, Gianluca Vialli, etc. They all have different ideas when it comes to set pieces. Now, for me, I think it has to be, as much as boring for players, and it is boring going through set pieces on a Friday. I didn't enjoy it, but it's so important because still there's such a high percentage from set pieces. Take out those 10 goals from Norwich, which a lot of that is just doing your job. Do your jobs well. You shouldn't concede that many from corners. If that was 2 instead of 10, we're in Norwich in the league right now. You know, it's a small detail, but it's such a huge detail at the same time. So do I blame the goalkeeper? No. Do I question the coaching staff? You have to an extent.
Quick quiz. Who are the other four teams in that top five of goals conceded from corners in the Premier League?
See, this would then be, you'd have to ask who are the least organised. Go on, hit me with them.
Villa and West Ham, both on 9, second, joint second and third respectively. Chelsea with 8 and Manchester United with 8.
I was going to say United. Do you know what the interesting thing to that is? Look, of course, don't get me wrong. If you're down the bottom of the league, you're conceding more corners than anyone else. So, you know, the stat is slightly skewed because of that. I do appreciate that. You're going to have a lot more attacks on you than maybe the Man City's or Liverpool's. But still, look, the fact that Chelsea and Man United are there is a great point. Suddenly, if that's 2 instead of 8, again, does that make a big difference to their league position? It's details like this, and that's just corners. What about free kicks against? What about long throw-ins? What about, you know, other set plays that you're facing throughout a game? I just think that it is such a big part of football.
Okay, well, a clean sheet apiece for David De Gea and Kasper Schmeichel over the past couple of days. More scrutiny on De Gea than Schmeichel, certainly. However, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and he did keep a clean sheet against Sheffield United, arguably, you could say, the best game that he could have gone into with little to do in that 90 minutes, a comprehensive 3-0 win for Man United. But building up to the game, post-Spurs game, which we've already discussed in a previous episode of Between the Sticks, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer did say David De Gea is still the best goalkeeper in the world. A couple of days later, Brendan Rodgers on Kasper Schmeichel as well, after saving that penalty from Neil Maupay. It was a 0-0 draw between Brighton and Leicester, said that Kasper Schmeichel was world-class, certainly top-level goalkeeper in the Premier League. I don't think there's any debate about that whatsoever, but he labelled him as world-class. What are your thoughts on both?
Yeah, I agree with world-class. I think if you're top 5, top 6 in the Premier League, that constitutes world-class, given that, for me, the Premier League's the best league in the world. I know there could be arguments in regards to La Liga, but I'll stand by that comment. In terms of De Gea, I love that from Solskjaer. It's interesting, though. Do you want your manager to back you that much? It depends what type of personality you are. Some personalities, and I know for me, for instance, I was almost a bit funny when the manager was that positive about me. I almost liked to go out and always felt like I had a point to prove. Now, that was just my personal psychological makeup. But David De Gea, best in the world. Again, people will have their opinions on that. I think not many would agree with it at the moment. And I think that's fair to say. Yep, 2 or 3 years ago, I think that was a really good shout. And I think he was very much up there. At the moment, obviously, he's going through, or has been going through, a bit of a tough time. Do I like that from a manager? Yeah, I do. I think that a manager backing your goalkeeper, and most goalkeepers that are playing, they want the backing of their manager. They want to know that they can go out and fully express themselves. I guess the fact that David De Gea has made mistakes, I touch on my situation, and my mental setup, whether David De Gea needs a slightly different situation or something to change slightly, because it does just feel that maybe he's not as focused. I think you've got to be careful what you say, because you just don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But the fact is, he's made a lot more errors in the last couple of seasons than he did for the 5 before that. And he was player of the season year in, year out. He is still that goalkeeper. And if anything, he should be improving, certainly over the next 2-3 years, given the age he is. So you do just feel that there's something not quite right. It's hard to know what that is without being David De Gea himself. So look, hopefully whatever it is that just needs to change slightly does, and we can see the David De Gea that we saw for so long. But look, maybe this is a start. Great clean sheet, good clean sheet. As you mentioned, not a great deal to do. What he did well. And that will give him a bit of a springboard to move forward.
Nice one, Richard. Well, I have to say, timing has been impeccable here. You gave me a 20-minute deadline because you are a busy man. You've got things to do. And I've met it. 2 minutes to spare.
Oh, fantastic.
Thank you, boss. We'll be back in a couple of days.
We will indeed. Loads more fixtures. There are some tonight, of course, none tomorrow. Plenty on Saturday, I believe. So, yeah, should be an interesting few days ahead.
Good stuff. This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. We'll see you next time.